Blog Talk Radio. right where you are as an act of worship, as an act of surrender. And just create an altar of worship right where you are. And commune with the Father right where you are.
bless your name. I will bless your name. I will I know we got to move on. Bless your name.
Yes, sir.
He's been too good. I'll bless your name.
Come on, I will bless your
in the midst of opposition. I will bless your name. In the midst of uncertainty. These are uncertain times. But it doesn't change it. I will bless your name.
Wednesday, March 21st, 2018, and Taking the Limits Off is live on the air right now, live from Taking the Limits Off Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, look, I am excited about today. Y'all just pray, man. I got in here and I got up here, ran up here, made it just about on time, then had to turn around and go downstairs and move my car for the food pantry truck. Amen. Had to do what we had to do. Lord, have mercy. Good thing I got that long song going. But look, y'all, it's going to be a good day today. This is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. Wisdom Wednesday, again, March 21st, 2018. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for this. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good. How? Five steps for handling church conflict. Five steps for handling church conflict. That's going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it. I know that I am. It's going to be a good time today. Man, let me give you the rundown of how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way. Again, you can call into the show, area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you all that way. If you want to follow us on social media, you can definitely do that. You can follow us on social media. Do a simple, you can tweet the show. Go to Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's going to be a good time today. Again, excuse me, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all via Twitter. Amen. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do it as well. You can follow us on Instagram. Instagram, real simple to do, TTLO Radio. You can find us right there on Instagram, TTLO Radio. Looking forward to having you all follow us that way. Again, on Instagram, TTLO Radio. That's where you will be able to reach us. Amen. Amen. If you want to follow us on, okay, why am I not able to share this? Not sure what's going on there. All right. If you want to follow us on again, follow us on Instagram. That's TTLO Radio. And then you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's going to be a good time as well. If you want to follow us on the live streams are up and running right now. Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio with Taking the Limits Off Radio. You can find us there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Ustream.tv. If you want to follow us on live or Facebook Live, Facebook Live is up and running. I'm not sure why it's not letting me share. But Facebook Live is up and running. You can find us right now live on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us right now, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And then you can find us also live on Instagram, Instagram TTLO Radio. Again, that's Instagram TTLO Radio. You can find us there. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio. and you can find us there. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm trying to get this figured out. Tanya, do me a favor. See if you can, when you go to what to the TTLO page, can you do the share thing? Because I don't know that I do something crazy over here on my end. It's very possible now. Very possible. Very possible. But yeah, just let me know if I did something wrong, which is very possible. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to doing that. But man, y'all, look, I'm excited, man. I'm so excited. Look, another night. It's Wednesday, Bible study night. If you did not know, I am over at Ebenezer Baptist Church all week. I'm over at Ebenezer Baptist Church tonight teaching Bible study. You are welcome to come out. Looking forward to hearing from you all. You are welcome to come out. Definitely looking forward to seeing you all. Y'all can come out and be a part of Bible study tonight over at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. The address is 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, 4501 South Vincennes Avenue. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Amen. Amen. You can come out and hang out with me tonight over at Ebenezer, the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. You can join me over there. And then, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. So, look, the election was yesterday, right? Yeah, I need to figure out what's going on with this Facebook thing real quick. I see everything else is working. Yep, that's up. That's up. Okay, she did send me a message, but I can't even see your message that you sent me. Lord, what is going on today around here? Let me see. Okay, she's all right. Cool. All right, so let me do this. I'm going to take a real quick break, right? When we come back, we're going to jump into the conversation. I want to know how y'all feel about this vote thing, man. I need to know how y'all feel about this vote thing that happened yesterday, because it kind of, I don't know how I feel about it. Some stuff happened. Some stuff didn't happen. But we're going to see, right? We're going to talk about it. We're going to be right back, y'all. I promise y'all I won't be right back. I won't be gone too long. Come here. Let's see. I'm going to get some Darwin Hobbs and Deidre Hatton. He's able. Be right back, y'all. TTLO.
That you've been waiting for all night.
Be right back, y'all.
Darwin, where are you? How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you could ask for things, according to the power that worketh in us?
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask for, according to the power that worketh in you.
Sure, what is going on? the feature I was looking for, it popped back up on one device but not on the other. So maybe I'm on Facebook on too many different things. That could be the issue.
Yeah,
I do have too much stuff going on up in here. Doing too much. Anyway, y'all. So look, I got a couple questions. So the election was last night. Hopefully you all did go out to vote. I got some comments, and I want to make sure I'm not going overboard with my comments. Y'all know sometimes y'all can say people say, you know, it's funny. You ever get the comment from people? And you know, I know folks are only trying to look out and give you some good advice sometimes. But y'all know when I'm here by myself, right? I'm the only one in the studio, right? And LaTanya is doing her thing from the other side, but she's at her job where they actually pay her, right? Okay. So when I'm in studio, I'm in here by myself. So people, you know, so people use terms like, you did a whole lot of talking today. It's a talk show. I'm just saying, you did a whole lot of talking today. It's a talk show. What you want me to do? Wait, I ain't supposed to talk. I'm supposed to sit here and just smile behind the microphone. Anyway, so before I do a whole lot of talking, let me get to this. Let me get to this election thing. At first, let's talk about this. Apparently, the turnout yesterday was horrific. Horrific. Can I just give y'all the totals? And when I say this, I mean horrific. Let's just go to some of these numbers. And I'm just looking at the numbers for governor. Quite a few people came out, voted, and let's see. So this was the primary election, right? This was the primary election, and the primary election is strictly dealing with who's going to run from the Democratic Party and who's going to run from the Republican Party and or Independent Party, if there is one, Green Party, whatever you want to call it. Okay, all right. So yesterday we had Governor Rauner. Governor Rauner was trying to win the Republican spot. And then we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 six people trying to win the spot for governor. It was, and so Rauner beat out Ives in a very close race. His Republican, he was the incumbent, and Ives was the female challenging him for the right to run for the Republican spot. And so they end up going at it yesterday. He won that 51% to 48%. And then for governor, it was Pritzker, Biss, Kennedy, Hardeman, Diber, and Marshall. I don't even know who Diber and Marshall are, to be honest with you. I have no idea who they are. But Pritzker won overwhelmingly, which I'm kind of shocked. But Pritzker won overwhelmingly to take the Democratic nomination for governor. That race, it will be later on in November. He won that spot. And I'm just interested how that happened. And Biss, the former school teacher, came in second, and not a close second either, came in second. And Chris Kennedy, rather unknown, Chris Kennedy came in third with 24% of the vote. Biss had 26% of the vote. And then all these other people, Hardeman, Diber, and Marshall. You got 20,000 votes, Hardeman, 14,000 votes, Diber, and 14,000 votes for Marshall. You came in dead last. Altogether, that would be 48,000. Might as well say 50,000 votes that went. I don't want to say they were wasted, because I don't want to say people wasted their votes here in Chicago. I never like saying that. But did anybody really believe that T.O. Hardeman, Diber, or Marshall was going to win the Democratic nod for governor? Did anybody really believe that either one of these gentlemen was going to win the nomination for governor? I'm just curious. Can anybody, Bueller, anybody? Because I just don't see how they thought it was going to happen. I'm not sure what they what the thought process was. I'm trying to understand what they thought was going to happen. But here's the situation. Here's the situation. I don't want people to. I'm not knocking anybody for running. I think if you feel like you can do it, you can do the job. You should get out and you should run for office. But here's the deal. J.B. Pritzker won, and I'm gonna go down this list a little bit further. J.B. Pritzker won to get the Democratic nomination. Now Pritzker is the one who they caught on tape with the Blagojevich tapes, talking about when he was on the phone with Blagojevich, trying to say who is the least. Or can I say it the way I feel it? Who is the least offensive Negro that white folks would be okay with? That's pretty much what he said. Which one of these Negroes is the least offensive that white folks won't be scared of that we can put up for a spot? That's the thought. Who is the least offensive? That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said on tape. And he said, I think Jesse. I think Jesse White is the most least offensive Negro who we can find that we can put out there and won't offend people. And let's send him out there and let's do that and go forward. Now he came out and said it was insensitive, the comment he made. But insensitive or not, is that how you really felt? I don't mind people telling me how they really felt. But then when you tell me, then you don't get mad when I react the way I react. When I choose to not want to vote for you because if this is how you really feel, that means you think a whole lot of us who speak our minds, come on now, you think a whole lot of us that speak our minds are offensive. So I don't know much about J. Robert Pritzker other than he comes from a very, very wealthy family. The only thing I know about J. Robert, that's his name, J. Robert, but he's J.B., you know, J. Bob is probably what they call him, J. Bob, but it's J.B. His name is J. Robert. But J. Robert Pritzker, you know, is on tape, and y'all can go look it up for yourself and listen to the whole tape so it's not taken out of context. They were having a conversation about who they could put up, him and Blagojevich, but he was a big donor and for Blagojevich at the time, and they were trying to figure out who would be the best person that Blagojevich could put up that would be least offensive to other white folks. Right. And he said, this would be the least offensive black that we could find. Let's go get, Jesse White to run. Let's get Jesse. That's what he said. But yet, I'm going to assume y'all still voted for him. Now, I'm going to get you some more of these numbers, and I want to go to the real numbers. Attorney General, the Republican candidate, someone last named Harold won on the Republican side, and Kwame Raoul won the Democratic spot, which is probably, you know, hey, we got a brother that has a possibility of becoming the next Attorney General for Illinois. Now here is where the numbers are going to show you, and I want you all to keep this in mind for the upcoming election in November. 3, 6, 8, 9, 10. Over a million people voted for Attorney General yesterday. A million people. Right? Only 600,000 people voted for the Republican spot for Attorney General. Y'all follow me so far, right? Which means if these same people get up and vote in November, then Kwame Raoul should win the Attorney General spot. Unless a whole bunch of folk decide to stay home and not vote. If he only gets the votes he got yesterday, he won't win because the top Republican candidate got 59% of the Republican vote. Raul only got 30% of the Democratic vote. Governor, y'all remember former Governor Pat Quinn and the rest of them. He was running. Somebody named Fairley, Rottering, Drury, Ruiz, Mariotti, and Goldstein. I don't know any of these cats, but they were all running yesterday as well. Okay, then we had a bunch of judges. Now, Let me get to the Cook County Board President spot. Tony Prepwinkle. She won the Democratic nomination to maintain her spot, rather, as Cook County Board President. Yeah, the only person running against her was Fioretti. She doesn't have a Republican person running against her, so she'll probably maintain her spot even after the sugar tax. Even after the sugar tax. Y'all do remember the sugar tax. Y'all do remember the sugar tax, right? Y'all still put Prepwinkle back in there. Even after the sugar tax. Y'all do know that, right? I just want to make that clear. Y'all put Prepwinkle back in there even after the sugar tax. I just want to make sure that's what y'all did. So she went up on everything we had. She raised prices on all this stuff. We were paying all this high end for a bottle of pop, for a can of soda, for whatever it is we were doing. We were paying all this money, and y'all still put Prepwinkle back in there. Now, I don't know anything about Fioretti or whatever. I'm just saying that's what we did. That's what we did. We put her back in there even after the sugar tax, even after she said she was going to get rid of all of those Todd Strolger tax hikes that he had put in place that she did not get rid of. Y'all still put her back in office. I just want to go. And then so that's where we are. That's all I want. That's it. So here is the part that I want to talk about real quick, and this is where I think we still haven't learned our lesson yet. We still haven't learned our lesson yet. Yesterday voter turnout was horrible. Voter turnout was 29% in the city of Chicago yesterday. Let me make sure y'all hear me correctly. In the city of Chicago yesterday, only 29% of the people in the city of Chicago went out and voted yesterday. I want you to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I don't want y'all to miss this. Watch this. You ready for this? Turnout among millennial voters was at the lowest. Millennials. Those of you who we keep talking about, oh, we can get the millennials back in church. Oh, we get the millennials more active. Oh, we need to get the millennials more this. Oh, we need to get them more that. 3% of the millennials in the city of Chicago went to vote. 3%. Voters between the age of 54 and 74 had the highest turnout. Voters between the ages 54 and 74 had the highest turnout. Anybody want to explain to me? Anybody got any suggestions as to what happened? Anybody have any answers for me as to why that's the turnout? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 3%. But we're talking about wanting our voices heard. We're talking about how come our voices aren't being heard. Where are our people? Why is nobody listening to the voices of the young people? And y'all didn't go vote. You didn't vote. You didn't get up off your butts. Jesus. You did not get up off your butt and go vote. You stayed home. You stayed home. And you might say, well, it's just the primary. So it does matter. It does matter. It absolutely does matter. Good afternoon, Marissa Williams. God bless you. God bless you. It does matter. Y'all stayed home yesterday. This is horrible. 3% of the millennials in this city. 3%. And I know they keep playing with the millennial age and all that, but I'm gonna put it like this: 18 to 35. Y'all stayed home yesterday. Nobody went outside and voted. 3%. But you want to see difference in your city. You want to see a difference in your county, a difference in your state. 3%. That's how Donald Trump got his in office in the first place. That's how Trump got elected, because y'all stayed home. Unbelievable. Where is your civic duty? And don't tell me, well, ain't nothing going to change. You know, well, ain't nothing going to change no way. They're going to do what they want to do, so I ain't going to vote. That's the dumbest thing. You sound as dumb as a box of rocks. That's the dumbest thing you could ever let come out of your mouth. They ain't going to change nothing no way, so what sense do it make for me to go? Ain't nothing going to change. Ain't no sense of me going out there standing in the cold to go out to vote, and then the voting place don't even have the stuff right when you go over in there. So what? You do know people died and got beaten so your behind could go vote. You do realize that, right? People died. Their lives were forever changed. People were killed so that people your age could get out and vote. 3%. That you should be, somebody should march against y'all. The old people. What is it? 54 to 74 ought to get out and ask and have a sign up saying, what the hell is wrong with the millennials that y'all don't vote? Seriously. And I got a lot of millennial friends on Facebook, and they Facebook friends. Now I have a lot of real life millennial friends, but I got a lot of millennial friends on Facebook, and I'm just curious because I didn't see a whole lot of posting yesterday. And you know, maybe some people just didn't want to post that they voted, but I purposely posted the fact that I go out and vote. There's no way I could sit on this radio for the last going on 4 years talking about all the stuff that's going on in this crazy city and state and country, and then not carry my behind to the polls and vote. That's the least of the things I can do. And you Negroes stayed home yesterday. And I'm gonna talk about it, because I really wish I could get the demographics on how many black folks stayed home yesterday. Y'all need y'all behinds whooped. And then you wonder why they keep trying to change the voting laws. Guess why? Because you don't get your ass up. Woo, y'all, oh God, I'm sorry. Y'all pray for me. You won't get your behind out and go vote in the first place. I really can't understand that. Y'all literally stayed at home yesterday. 3% of people from ages 18 to 40, y'all stayed home and did not vote. Only 3% of the millennials in the city of Chicago, 3%. And then you wonder why in certain states they're trying to change the voter law. They want you to have an ID. You got to have this when you go. You got to have that when you go. Why? Because you all will stay home. And then once they decide to change it, oh, now we're going to march. We shall overcome. No, don't march now. Carry your behind to the poll and vote. Who does that? You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just knew. And yesterday I went, you know, I still vote, even though I don't live on the west side of Chicago anymore. I still vote there because that's where my stuff is still registered. Because I like going to the polls on the west side. I like to see my people, and I want to see. And I was kind of, I was somewhat excited yesterday prior to seeing these numbers this morning. I was somewhat excited yesterday because my polling place was kind of crowded, and I went at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So my polling place was, you know, it was a little crowded. So I was excited. I said, oh, we showed up. We tired. We fed up. We showed up to go vote. And I get in here, and I wake up this morning, I say, let me look at the numbers. And I saw who won. I watched the results last night, but I had class, so I didn't really watch the news. I was online doing my classwork. And so today, I get up and I read the different news outlets, and everybody's telling me that it was one of the worst primary voter turnouts in history. And part of the reason was because y'all didn't get up and go vote. I don't even understand that. And then we do a whole lot of talking. Oh, Bruce Rauner did this. Bruce Rauner. Y'all stay home in November and end up with four more years of Bruce Rauner. Stay home in November, and that's how you ended up with Rauner in the first place. Stay home if you want to. Mark my words. You heard it right here. If you stay your behind home in November, Rauner will be back in office. I'm just telling you, you can vote for whoever you want to vote for. Even if you want, how do you think Trump got in? Because all of y'all who voted for Barack, some of y'all voted Bernie. Some of y'all wanted Bernie, and some of y'all wanted Hillary, and then some of y'all didn't like now one of them. So those of you who didn't like now one, y'all stayed home. That's how Trump got in. Y'all stayed home. Unbelievable. That's how Rauner got. You stay home, you get what you get. At least if you go and vote and you go out there, you can say, you know what? Well, I did my part. And then you can fuss about it and you can do what's necessary to push people to go out and vote the next time. But for you that stayed home, I promise you. Now, I didn't see no post. But I really do hold people that's on my page. Y'all call, friends, real friends, Facebook friends, and family members. I hope y'all carried y'all behinds out and voted yesterday. Because guess what? If you don't have the decency to get up and vote, you don't care enough about where you live to get up and go vote yesterday. You know what? You can unfriend me. I'm serious. You can unfriend me. You really can. You just kindly delete yourself. Because you serve no purpose. Because some of y'all will be the first ones to type something on. Y'all will put a post up. City of Chicago got this going on. City of Chicago need to Crook County. And all. But you didn't get up and vote. You didn't get up and vote yesterday. My God. One thing I can say about church folks, and I do a whole lot of talking on here. One thing I can say about church folks, you say it'd be an election. One thing I can say about church folk, you use the magic words election or vote at church. I promise you, everybody that can vote.
Yep.
Will vote. Look, hey. Church folks, y'all doing what? Y'all trying to pick a what? Oh, no, I'm coming. I don't care if I ain't been there since 83. Yeah, am I still a registered voter? y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all know I ain't lying. I don't care. Church folk will show up for a ballot. Church folk, look, if it's a what? Huh? They doing what? I'm coming. I'm coming to vote. I'm coming. I wish the folk in the city had the same zeal and vigor of some church folk and just show up. Look, I don't care if you ain't paying attention to the news all year long. You should have got up and voted yesterday. Because church folk cannot come to church but once a year. But let you say you're voting for something. My vote counts. I'm a member. I'm just trying to tell y'all the truth. None of y'all went out to vote yesterday. That's a crying shame. Voter turnout was 29% from the city. Now, I'm not talking. Now, that's just that's the city of Chicago. I'm not saying people who live in Maywood and Broadview and Bellwood. I don't know what their voter turnout was yesterday. I'm talking about the city of Chicago, where over a couple of almost 3 million people live. That's what I'm talking about. That's a shame. That's really sad, man. That's really sad. So I just wanted to put that out there. Congratulations to the winners yesterday, all the people who won. It's going to be interesting to see how this turns out. Do your research, man. This is the deal. Do your research. And here's the deal, too. I didn't even bring this up. The judges. There were a lot of judges. We complain about the system being stacked against African-American men and women and minorities in the courtroom, but then y'all won't go vote for judges. You won't do your research. You don't know who these people are. We needed some African-American and some minority judges on the bench, and y'all stayed home again. Then you wonder why you get the judge who gives the same two people can go up there for the same crime. Lil Billy from Oak Park get caught with a bag of weed, and he gonna get a slap on the wrist, and he gonna go home, and you'll see him on the side of the road picking up some paper, and in 90 days or 6 months he'll be off probation, and it'll never be on his record. Now Lil Daquan get caught with the same bag of weed. Guess where he gonna be? Daquan gonna get 6 months in jail, and then Daquan got a record. Daquan gets a felony. Daquan now can't get hired nowhere. Same judge, two different people. You don't believe me? Check the record. But then you won't carry your behind and go vote. Guess what? Y'all didn't see all them judges running unopposed on your ballots yesterday? All these people running unopposed. How do you run unopposed? Now, I can see if you're doing a wonderful job, but even if you're doing a wonderful job, somebody should come along and challenge you to make sure you continue to do a wonderful job. The reason some of these people can do shoddy work and get away with whatever is because nobody challenges them. Nobody challenges them. They go unchallenged for years. I'll give you another one. Yesterday, Jesse White. Y'all know Jesse. You know he's the unoffensive Negro, according to Pritzker. he's the unoffensive Negro. He's the least likely to offend you, Negro. But I'm just y'all know it's true. But he ran yesterday. Where is he at? Jesse White. Where's the rest of the thing at? Let's see. Jesse White. Come on. Jesse White ran unopposed yesterday. Yeah. Jesse White ran unopposed yesterday. I just want to make that very, very clear. For Secretary of State, right? I'm going to make sure it's Secretary of State or Control. I think it's Secretary of State. I'm trying to pull this up. My computer's acting real goofy over here. But I'm like, How is this possible? How is this possible that he ran unopposed yesterday? Unopposed. I mean, this is literally where we are again. Jesse White yesterday. And I believe he is now, how old is Jesse White? I believe he's 80. I don't mean no harm. But how old is Jesse White? Born 1934. Do your math. 1934. Let me count out like my grandmama. My great-grandmama used to count out. She said 34. She said, well, all right then. 44, 54, 64, 74, 84, that's 50, 94, 2004, that's 70. 2014, that's 80. He almost 85 years old, 84 years old. And he's still the Secretary of State. I got two words for y'all. Term limits. Term limits. I don't care who you are. They put they got term limits on the presidency. You can only run twice. You can only win twice. You can only be president twice, and then you got to go sit down somewhere. But this is why nothing changes. This is why we have no. This is why, because people get comfortable in their positions and nobody challenges them. They go unchallenged for years. Unchallenged for years. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. All right, y'all. I'm going to move on. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to take a quick break. Excuse me. And when I come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. This is going to be good. And do me a favor, y'all. Y'all kind of quiet today. Man, where are the people at? I think there's a problem with Facebook because I don't even see my regular people on here except for a handful. I don't even see my regular people today, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. So we're going to figure it out, but we'll be right back. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Let me do this. Let me give y'all some of this right here. Come here. No, I ain't going to get William Murphy get you put in Facebook jail when you play him. So let me give a little bit of this right here. Some of this. Let's go, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's that Fred Hammond. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Love it. Love it. Love it. Come on, Fred. Yeah. Spite of himself, I'm still blessed. That's it. Come on. Yes, sir. Look, y'all, we got this really good article. I want to get ready to do that today. I want to jump right into that. Today's topic of conversation is good, man. I hope y'all ready for this. This is a good one here. It's going, you know, hopefully, and again, we pick articles, for one, to spark conversation, but we also want to give solution. I know a lot of people say they just beating up on the church and all this other kind of stuff. Not at all what we do. We give you these articles, for one, because we want to bring some things to light. But when you bring them to light, whether they be problems or not, these articles are always followed up with solutions on what we should do during the process. So this is going to be good, man. I hope y'all ready for this. Five steps for handling conflict. This is what we got today, man. So we're going to jump into that. Yeah, that's what we're about to do. Y'all ready for it? Good. Let's take a quick one. We'll be right back. Let's go.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen. So today's topic conversation is good. It's real simple conversation, but this is good. And the writer is Rick Warren. If you guys followed anyone, any Christian book writers over the years, you'll know that Rick Warren has been a blessing to the ministry of so many churches. He has been an absolute blessing to the ministry of so many churches. over the years, and I just thought it would be apropos that we use a Rick Warren article on a day such as this. So this is going to be good, man. I hope y'all are ready for this one. This one is good. So the conversation goes like this. The writer says this. He simply says, five steps for handling conflict. Again, the writer is Rick Warren, and this is new. This was just written on the 20th. So this was written yesterday. This is a good one. The writer says this. He says, in Nehemiah 5, the Israelites face conflict for one of the same reasons we do today, selfishness. Uh-oh. He says, so what can we learn from Nehemiah about handling conflicts? Oof. What can we learn about Nehemiah from handling conflicts? This is what the writer says. The writer says this. Number one, take the problem seriously. Take the problem seriously. Can we pause right there? A lot of people don't take problems in the church seriously, which is why the problems never go away. A lot of people don't take problems seriously in the church, which is why they never go away. They may get hushed. They may get pushed under the rug, but eventually you push enough stuff under the rug, it's going to start to come out on the other side. That'll hit somebody later. Eventually, you keep pushing enough stuff under the rug, it's going to come out on the other side. So the writer says this. He says, take the problem seriously. Go to verse 6. He says this. He says, Nehemiah didn't ignore the problem. He took it seriously. When the unity of your church gets challenged, it's your job to protect that unity. It's serious business. The writer says, in times like this, a certain level of anger is completely appropriate and right. Leadership means knowing the difference between the right kind of anger and the wrong kind of anger. Ah, my. Knowing the difference between the right kind of anger and the wrong kind of anger. Uh-oh. Can we get Nehemiah 5? Can we get Nehemiah 5? I think that'll help us, because I don't want y'all to I like to make sure I'm biblically correct now. I like to make sure my stuff is legit. Can we get that real quick? Let me get that. Verse 6 says, Nehemiah 6 says, let me go to 5 first. He says, yet our flesh is a flesh of our brethren and children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them for other men of our lands and vineyards. Have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. He says Nehemiah was angry, right? But this was a righteous anger. I'm not talking about just walking around mad and cussing everybody out. I'm talking about a righteous anger, because when someone or people are being wronged in your church and you know this, and you sit back and don't allow and don't fix it, you don't do anything to try to quell the anger or to squash it, then you're not doing your job as a leader. And when I say leader, I don't mean just pastor, because we real quick to just try to put all the, you know, anytime there's an issue, we want to put it off on the pastor. No, this goes for any and everyone in leadership positions. I'll read it again. He says, in times like this, a certain level of anger is completely appropriate and right. When the unity of your church gets challenged, meaning when there are people inside the church causing division amongst the people, you have the right to be angry and to call them out on it. You have the right to do that. You have the absolute right to do that, to call them out on it. And then shame on you who sit back and just watch with popcorn. You do know there are some people in the church who just come to church with popcorn every Sunday. Because, see, when they know your church is messy, they just show up with popcorn. Let me see what they're going to do today. Today might be the day. I'm only telling you what I know. Look, I know some people who watch me in church. Some people watch me in church. Oh, yeah, today going to be the day he go off. Today going to be the day, y'all. Y'all think he going to go off today? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And instead of, and here's the deal. If you believe somebody going to go off, that means you probably know something, but you're not doing anything to try to help the situation. Nah. Okay. All right. So that was number one. Take the problem seriously. Take the problem seriously. You have to take the problem seriously. I love this. This is good so far. Verse 7 says this. Let me put this first one in here. Yeah. All right, cool. Verse 7 says this. Then he says, come on, computer, act right. Thank you. He says, think before you speak. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, with this one. He says, think before you speak. The writer says, if you only do one step, and he says, if you only do step one and ignore step two, you'll get in lots of trouble. Let me raise my hand. If you only do step one and ignore step two, you'll get yourself in a lot of trouble. The writer says this. He says, Nehemiah 5 and 7 says, I pondered them in my mind. I pondered them. That's the NIV version. Nehemiah stopped. He got alone with God and thought about what he was going to do. And then he asked God, what do you want me to do? The writer says, you should get angry when disunity threatens your church. But you have to think before you act. You can't just act on that anger. James 1, 19 and 20 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God deserves. Woo! My. He goes on to say, I've seen a lot of leaders who were highly effective for the Lord blow their ministry in an impulsive moment. Don't let that happen to you. Get angry, but then take some time to think and pray about what to do next. Let me tell y'all something right now. Number two is for me. I don't have no problem admitting that at all. Number two was for me. Number two is for me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there have been some times where I just let folk know what I'm just telling you for real. There have been some times I just let some folk know. You done messed up, buddy, and you messed up the wrong way, and I want you to know that I know that you know that I know that you messed up. Hindsight is 20/20. That's what we say. But we have to be careful what we say. Think before you say. I love this, man. I love this. This James scripture, 1:19 and 20. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And he said, and here's it. And why? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. God desires righteousness. Meaning what? Meaning this very simply. You can't think that you're glorifying God by cussing out the choir director. Huh? Even if he or she deserved it. I'm not saying what they didn't deserve. I'm saying even if he or she deserved it, if the chairman of the trustee board or the deacon ministry or whatever, whoever, even if they deserve to be cussed out, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And I know it became, and you know what, for years, it became a real cliche, but I believe it's one of those things, especially in the church, maybe we need to get back to, is that whole phrase. Y'all remember, y'all, people was walking around with the little bracelets on in different colors. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, don't get me wrong. There was a time when Jesus did have righteous anger. Huh? Yeah, when he went into that church and turned over them tables for the obvious things that were going wrong and to put an end to the selling in the church, of the selling of the bad animals. Let me make sure I clear that up because we want to say no selling. The selling of diseased animals for sacrifices. He said, you have produced, you have using my father's house has become a den of thieves because you are committing falsities and thievery in the church. Even Prince said, there's thieves in the temple. But so you can have some anger, but think about what you're going to do. And then you need to think about the perception of what other people may see. See, here is the problem. Pastor Park said this the other day when he was in, not the other day, he said it on his video the day about getting angry and getting your lick back when you want to get somebody back. The thing that made y'all remember Dennis Rodman, the basketball player, NBA basketball player. He played for the Chicago Bulls for a long time, but he also played for the San Antonio. He played for the Detroit Pistons, San Antonio Spurs, and the Chicago Bulls. He was there, right? Dennis Rodman was known for getting underneath people's skin, right? And what happened was Dennis Rodman would do things and not get caught by the referee. But then your response is what the referee sees. And now you're the one getting punished. Oh, my God, y'all don't hit me. So the same thing happens to us. Everybody might not see the trustee picking on you. Everybody might not see the choir director doing what she's doing. Everybody might not see how this person talks to you or treats you. But everybody will see you when you react. I told y'all number two was for me. Number two was for me. Everybody will see you when you react. And watch this. We'll hold your reaction against you. I'll take it a step further, because this is what these super judgmental Christians, even though they know the person you reacted against, does that to everybody. Oh, my. Oh, my. I think we need to be careful about how we react. It's easy to just want to go in and hit somebody, right? Real quick on Instagram, it's telling me that the video is going to end. It's going to end, and I'll restart a new live. They only give you 1 hour on Instagram, so it's going off in like 2 seconds. Come right back. It'll be right back for you. Let me get that set for them real quick, y'all, and then we can continue with this conversation. This is good, man. I like this. This is good. All right. We're back. Good. We're back on the gram. Y'all come on back in. Amen. Amen. Had to do it quick. I'm getting good with the Instagram deal. All right. So let's keep going. That was number two. Again, we're talking about today, in case you missed it, we're talking about five steps for handling conflict. Number three says this. Rebuke the person individually. Uh-oh. Y'all pray. Ooh, Jesus. Rebuke the person individually. Let's go to verse 7 of Nehemiah 5. He says, then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. Ooh. I like that. Let me help y'all out, because see, sometimes the King James kind of messes with y'all a little bit. Let me give y'all the English Standard Version. Verse 7 says this. He says, I took counsel with myself, and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials, and I said to them, you are exacting interest, each from his brother, and I held a great assembly against them. Okay, let's go. So then the writer goes on to say this about verse 7. He says, go directly to the source. He says, you don't deal with somebody else about it. Oh, my God. You don't talk with five or six different people to get everybody on your side. You don't say, I've got a prayer request, then spout it out. Instead, you go directly to the person causing the disunity. Oh, my God. Nehemiah did that in verse 7, 5 and 7. He says, I pondered them in my mind, and then I accused the nobles and officials, and I told them, you are exacting usury from your own countrymen. Nehemiah wasn't making a polite social visit. He was angry, and he didn't gloss over the fact that these guys were ripping off people. He wasn't watering it down. He was confronting the troublemakers. You and I are called to do that. When disunity threatens the church. Oh, my God. You are called to do that when disunity threatens the church. Titus 3 and 10. You know, folk love to read Titus. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. But Titus 3 and 10, this part must have got skipped in all of the reading. Titus 3 and 10 says, warn a divisive person one time, and then warn him a second time. And after that, oh my God, here we go, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. Y'all don't hear me. That's Bible. He says warning troublemakers is an important task of ministry. Oh, my. Look here. I done told you. Come at me. You got one more time. Y'all pray for the preacher. You got one more time. You got one more time. Huh? My Bible said, look, that's the NIV. That's the NIV. That's the NIV for verse 7. That's the NIV. Let me, can I, what is it? Look. Let me, can I get Titus? Come here, Titus. Let me get Titus so I can do this the right way. Cause I don't want nobody to say I'm eisegeting scripture over here. Let me get Titus. Come here, Titus. You know, that's over here. Titus 3. And 10. Titus 3 and 10 says, as for a person who stirs up division, this is the English Standard Version, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he or she is self-condemned. That's Titus 3, y'all. I love this. This is good. This is good, man. I'm trying to help somebody right now. This is good. This is good. I like what the writer says. The writer says, this is a great article. The writer says, warning troublemakers is an important task of ministry. Warning troublemakers is an important task of ministry. You have to let people know that their behavior is unacceptable, especially when they're causing disunity in the church. You have to let them know, because the more you allow them to walk around freely and do what they do unimpugned, the greater the disunity becomes in the church. You want to be able to pick out a church that's got a bunch of mess going on? Just look at where people sit when they come in church. Just look at where everybody goes. Just look at what happens after church is over. Just look at where people are in the process. If you really want to get an idea of whether or not a church is unified or not, just watch how people act towards one another in the church. And if you see a whole lot of mess going on in the church, that means mess is not being addressed. That means it's not being confronted. Oh my, this is good. This is good. This is good. Number four. church. Y'all pray. Ooh, pray for me. Lord, have mercy. Number four says, publicly deal with public divisions. Still dealing with verse 7. It's dealing with the rest of verse 7. Verse 7 had two parts of that Nehemiah scripture. The first part said, I took counsel with myself and I brought charges against the nobles and officials. And I said to them, you are exacting interest each from his brother. The rest of verse 7 says, and I held a great assembly against them. Now, number four, publicly deal with public divisions. In Nehemiah's situation, everyone knew that rich people were ripping off the poor. Uh-oh. He says he had to deal with it publicly. Nehemiah 5 and 7 says, when going privately to the rich officials didn't work, he called together a large meeting to deal with them. It must have been a tough conversation because it was probably the rich officials. Paying most of the expenses to rebuild the wall. It took guts to confront them publicly. He goes on to say, you too have to deal with problems to the degree that they are known. If the problem has spread to the whole church, then you have to deal with the problem publicly. I don't hear nothing but birds chirping on a cold day in March. Ooh, it's quiet. You have to deal with some stuff. Some folk need to be pulled right out front. Come here. Do it. Yeah. Sometimes you have to. Absolutely. When you've tried to do it privately and it has not changed, Titus says twice. Now, I give y'all, you know, some people need a little leeway. Some people are hard of hearing. Some people are a little slow on the uptake. Some people are not great at, what's what I'm looking for? Comprehension. Uh-huh. So you have to give them quite a few levels of understanding. but do it publicly. Especially if what's happening is happening publicly. Because see, here's the deal. Once you've been exposed for your mess, it's less likely that you're going to do it again. Now, you may do it again. You may do it better. You know, you may hide it. You may hide your stuff a little bit better. But once you've been exposed for your mess and how much mess you keep up and how much stuff you're doing behind the scenes to sow seeds of disunity, huh? Once it's brought out publicly, guess what? 9 times out of 10, you're going to change your behavior or you're going to find somewhere else to go and keep up mess. That's real. That's real. And the only reason people are allowed to do it, and you still see people doing what they're doing, and they're still holding public forums and bringing, you know, they always got a circle around them, and they're always talking about, well, he need to do this, and he need to do that, and I don't understand why he's still able to do this, and I don't understand why he's doing this, and why da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't understand that. Handle it publicly. Bring them to the forum. They look, if they can sit up and hold a public forum spreading mess and crap about you, you ought to be able to hold a public forum exposing them for their BS. My, my, my. Oh, what kind of church would we have if folks had to come correctly, huh? Oh, my, my, my. If all of a sudden all of the stuff, the mess that you've been keeping up was brought to the front of the church and everybody knew all of the mess that you was doing and keeping up and starting around the building, oh, my, 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 what kind of church would we have? I think we tend to be a more forgiving church if somebody had to, if you had to ask for forgiveness a little bit more. Woo! My, my, my. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. We almost done. We almost done. That was number four. That was number four. Let me get this and drop this in here for y'all real quick. Number four. Yeah. All right. All right. Number four. So number five. Number five says this. This is good, y'all. I hope this is blessing somebody. Number five says this. Where's number three? Did I put three in here? Oh, I dropped three. I didn't drop three. You big dummy. All right, come on. Let me get three. Hold on. Hold on. Come on, Danny. Get it together. Get it together. All right, that's three. All right. So let's drop three. Mm-hmm. Boom. All right. All right. And then let's drop four. And then we're going to move on to five. What we got? What we got? Dana Miller says, what if the pastor is the one keeping up the mess? The Bible still, guess what? Scripture applies to everybody, from the janitor in the church to the bishop in the church. You are not exempt. Okay? You are not exempt. Dana Miller says, what if the pastor is the one keeping up the mess? What did Scripture just say? You go to him privately. You go to him once or her. You go to her twice. And if it does not change, then you make it public. And you call a meeting, and you have the right to call, depending on what type of church you go to, you may have the right to call a meeting of the board of directors or whoever. So to have your concerns and issues brought to the table. Absolutely. Good question, Daniel Miller. Great question. Great question. Absolutely great question. But you have to, these things should not be allowed to fester. They should be brought to the table immediately because that's the only way they get handled. That's the only way sometimes it's attention needs to be brought to things in order to get them fixed. Thank you, Dana, for that. That was a great, 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 great question, Dana Miller. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going. If y'all got questions or comments, I know it's you know, Facebook a little quiet today, but I think Facebook did something weird today that people are not seeing. The post or whatever, but it's cool. They'll see it later. If you're on the line and you're listening, you got a question or comment, you want to comment on this subject about how to deal with handling conflicts, push 1. If the phone number to call in is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number to call in is area code 347-934-0546. Yep, 05. Amen. So you want to call in, you can definitely do that. Call into the show. Looking forward to hear from you. When you call in, push 1. That'll get you to my producer. She'll get you over to me. We got about 9 minutes left in the show. Let's keep going. Number five. Last one, and the writer says this. This is good, y'all. Again, 5 steps of handling conflict. Number 5, set an example of unselfishness. Set an example of unselfishness. Let's read verse 10, shall we? Verse 10, we're dealing with Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah 5. Verse 10 of Nehemiah says this in verse 10. He says, moreover, I and my brothers and my servants are lending them money and grain. Let us abandon this exacting of interest. Okay. Now let's go get context. Let's read what he wrote, number 5. Number 5 says this. Nehemiah led the way in unselfishness. It was the foundation of his leadership. When he asked them to rebuild the wall, he was out on the wall rebuilding it. Uh-oh. When he asked them to pray, he had already been praying. When he asked them to work night and day to get it built, he did the same. When he asked them to help the poor, we find out in verse 10, he'd already been doing it. Nehemiah never asked anyone to do what he wasn't already doing or wasn't willing to do. Leaders only ask others to do what they are already doing or are willing to do. He says, if you cannot challenge someone to follow your example, whatever you say to them is going to lose its impact. Churches have fewer conflicts when their leaders live unselfishly and model that to the congregation. Can we pause for a moment? Don't tell me about what you want to see the church do and how you want to see the church do this and how you want to see the church do that if you aren't doing it. You know what makes great leaders? When I've seen you in the trenches. When I've seen you out, you want to talk, well, you know, we need to go out and we need to do some stuff in the street and we need to grab the people and pray for the people in the street, but you never go. And this is for leaders. I'm not, because see, the article is for pastors, but this is for leaders. You're saying, I would love to see our church grow, but you never go out and talk to anybody. You can't even come down and evangelize to the people. You're afraid to go out and talk to people. You won't get outside of your comfort zone, but you want to see people come into the church. I would love to see the church grow, but you're not doing anything. How come we ain't growing? Because you ain't doing nothing. What are you doing to add to the growth? You're doing a whole lot of pruning, but you ain't doing a whole lot of planting. See, you plant and prune. See, you prune to make room, right? You plant to grow, and then you prune to make room. Come on, I'm gonna help somebody. So you plant seeds, right? That means you go out and you talk to people and you love on people and you encourage them and you do all those things. And then when they grow in, you start to cut away at the stuff that's no longer needed. That's pruning. The problem is in the church, we cutting folk away. we cutting people out the way and not planting seeds for new people to come. I really hope y'all getting this. I really do. I really hope y'all getting this because this is good. This is good. The writer goes on to say this. He says, you're going to have disagreements in your church. There's no perfect church, but God wants us to minimize disunity in our churches for his glory. The testimony of a church should not be the beautiful buildings, great sermons, or lovely music, but how the people love one another. That's good. That should be the testimony. Not that you got the building paid off, not that you bought a new church van or you got the parking lot fixed or any of that, or he's an awesome preacher and the choir sounds wonderful, but how the people love on one another. This is good. This is good. This blessed me. This is good, y'all. This is good. This is good. This is really good because actually I start teaching on unity tonight over at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. So this is good, y'all. This is good. Woo! My. This is good. Amen. Look, y'all, this was really good. Look, I got to do this before I get off the air. and I did mention it earlier in the show, and I'm sorry because I said I was going to do it. Please keep Flint, Michigan in your prayers. You all know the story. Flint, Michigan still does not have clean water. Flint, Michigan still does not have clean, operating, usable water. Please keep them in your prayers. I asked you all to do this, and I'm gonna keep doing this until I start to see some more things. Here's the deal. I see people right now on Facebook, on the timeline, and I see people who are watching on Facebook now. I see people who are watching on Instagram now. I see all y'all on my screen, a number of phone numbers going down the list. Some of y'all phone numbers I recognize, some of them I don't, but I do know this. I asked y'all to do a real simple thing about this Flint, Michigan deal. Keep the only way we're going to help Flint, Michigan. I'm not asking you for money. I'm not asking you for donations. I'm simply asking you hashtag what about Flint? I posted it up myself on my page. I posted it on the TTLO page. We're asking you all to bring this back to the forefront of the news. We need to make this go viral. Hashtag what about Flint? Get one glass of water. One dirty glass of water. Put some coffee in it if you have to make the glass look dirty. Whatever you got to do, get a glass of clean water, glass of dirty water. Take a picture of it. Then post hashtag what about Flint and post it on your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, MySpace, whatever it is you have, post it out there. If you post it and watch this, if you tag me, then I will share it as well. I've done it. Right. And I put it out there. I need you all to do it. It can't just be on one or two people. The only way you're going to get I told y'all this 100 times, 57% of the people in Flint, Michigan are African-American without proper running water. They're still using bottled water to flush their toilets in Flint. Bottled water to flush toilets. That ought to be enough to make you get up and do this right now. Hashtag pound sign. That's what it is. What about Flint? Post it up on your page. Feel free to tag me. You can tag the radio show. Do that. Put hashtag TTLO radio. You can put my name in it. You can tag me and tag the radio show. We will share it. That will make it go out to a larger segment of people. That's the only way we're going to get this Flint issue resolved. I think there's enough of us out here today who can help get this thing resolved if we push it. That way, when we turn on the news at night, Flint, Michigan still is in the news. Y'all haven't heard anything in your local news about Flint. You haven't heard anything in your national news about Flint in years. Why? Because it's no longer out there. It's no longer being talked about. The only place it's being talked about is in Flint, and that's a shame. Flint is a part of the United States of America, and right now they have the water of a third world country. We post all kind of silly stuff. And don't get me wrong, I love funny stuff on Facebook. Not Carlton Banks is blessing me with his latest post yesterday. Bless him. Bless him. But if we can post that, we can take 2 minutes and take a picture of a bottle of water and some dirty water, or two glasses, one with clean, one with, and post it with the hashtag what about Flint and tag me in it, and I will share it. I promise you I will share it. I will put it out there. I think it's something that's on my heart, and I'm going to keep talking about it every time I get on the air. Anytime somebody invites me to be on their live, I'm going to come on and talk about it as well. Hashtag what about Flint. That's all I'm asking y'all to do. Okay? Good time. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the time we had on today. God, we thank you for giving us the example of Nehemiah on how to deal with conflicts, God. God, we thank you for giving us and showing us the boldness of Nehemiah, God, to confront those things, God, that are not like you, to call out disunity when he saw it, God, to call out people who are not doing the right thing for others, God, in the church. God, we thank you for giving us this wonderful example of Nehemiah. Now, God, we ask that you would soften the hearts of those who are causing conflict in churches right now, God, that you would remove anyone, God, and change their hearts and their minds so that they would no longer be causing conflicts in the church, God. We ask right now that you would forgive them, God, immediately on today, and then, God, point them in a new direction on how they should handle conflict in the church. God, we thank you for the lesson on being slow to anger, God. We thank you for that right now. God, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been a great show today, man. Y'all help me out. This was good, man. Ways to handle conflict. 5 ways to handle conflict. It's good. You don't have to run from it. You don't have to be afraid of it. Just handle it. The Bible says confront them. Go to them twice. And if they don't want to act right, make it public. Huh? That's what the Bible said. I'm just telling you what I'm just telling you what the Bible just said. Read it for yourself in Nehemiah 5. Huh? Read it in Nehemiah 5. Handle it. Do what's necessary. Do what's necessary. Look, y'all, I got to go. Y'all be careful out here, man. People, Chicago is still crazy. Y'all know what to do. If you got to drive up and down these streets in Chicago that we call Chicago, K-Town, West Side, all that good stuff. If you have to be up and down these streets, y'all be careful. Keep your head on the swivel. I got to go, y'all. Peace.
No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around. Say no limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Come on. Stretch forth. Enlarge my territory. Can you pray these words with me? No limits, no boundaries. Come on. Said I see increase all around.